Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. We continue with our conversations with our national conference speakers, and I'm really honored to be joined today by the head football coach at Sacred Heart Griffin, Ken Leonard. He's coached now for 44 years, 39 as the head coach at Sacred Heart Griffin, has 379 wins, which is the Illinois state record for wins, 5 state championships, 4 runners-up. Just done an incredible job there, and he's still going. So, Coach Leonard, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you here.
Well, it's great to be here, and thank you for asking me to speak and be a part of the USA Football Clinic.
Absolutely. And Coach has with him here today Steve Thomas, who's been at Sacred Heart Griffin for 12 years. He's an assistant coach, running backs coach, and does a lot with their character building, which is going to be part of our focus of our podcast today. So, Coach Thomas, great to have you here as well.
Yep, thank you.
Well, Coach, before we get into your topic, I really want to talk to you about what you've done so far in your career. And before we got going, I said, I coached for 27 years, and I don't even think I'm close to coaching in as many games as you have wins. So just a ton of experience and success. But I know for you, there's kind of been a deeper purpose to this as well. And, in reading up on you and doing some research, that, a big part of this for you is you really feel you were called to do this.
There's no question. God, God blessed me with a passion for what I do, and that is try to change young men's lives through football, and just the coaching aspect, So, yes, there was no question that it's been a passion of mine for my life. I don't know if I've ever worked a day in my life because, I love what I'm doing, and I have a passion for it. So, that's what I try to push to all these young men and women about, hey, do what you have a passion for. Life goes by quick, and, that's what's the most important. Money and all that stuff, that's going to come and go, and it's not going to make happiness.
Absolutely. And Coach, for you, in talking to you before we got started here, you trace your start in coaching really back to your day in youth and in high school sports, where you were the quarterback, the point guard, the catcher. You were the guy out there always kind of directing things, and that kind of dovetailed into a career in coaching.
No question. And, back in the 60s when I grew up, we didn't have – I grew up in a small town. So, I had a ball in my hand if we could find one or tape one up and whatever, and playing baseball, basketball, football. We had to make up our own games. We had to be the guys that refereed and coached and whatever. There was no parents, which was really good. And I think we learned a lot of leadership. We learned a lot of things about just being a leader and being a coach, and because you had to do it, that's all I wanted to do every day was go out and play ball, some type of a ball, and it was a great time. I'm so thankful that I grew up where I did, small town, Midwest, and I had the friends I had, and it's funny because some of my best friends growing up, one of them is the winningest coach in Division III CCIW up in Illinois Wesleyan, Norm Ish. We both grew up together, and we both became coaches for our lifetimes.
Coach, where did you get your start? Who was, you kind of knew going through that this is what you wanted to do, but who gave you that first opportunity?
My high school coach, Ed Thomas, he was the guy, he was, Gary Steinbeck was another guy, was my Fresh South coach in football. Those are the guys that were very instrumental in me. And then my college coach, John Elizik at Harper Junior College, was a big influence on me. Those three individuals were the ones that I looked to and I think where I really got it. And, you know, maybe a non-coach, and that was my father. He was such a hard worker and a guy that sacrificed for my family and all my brothers and sisters, and how he treated his, how he treated my mother and how he raised us and the discipline and yet the hard, hard work that he put in every day and the sacrifice that he gave, that he did for us was a huge key too. But as far as coaching, I would say Ed Thomas was probably the most influential, and John Elizik were the two.
Coach, I know even for me, growing up as a coach, when I started, the internet really wasn't around, certainly not as prolific. Coaches today can go anywhere and get their information, whether that's on the X's and O's, the scheme, the coaching, but our profession traditionally has really worked kind of as a mentor and a apprenticeship type of relationship, where you have those guys that you learn from and you stay with for a while, and then, you know, gradually move into a position as a head coach or as a coordinator on your own. How important is it for young coaches today to still find those kinds of relationships and still learn in that way, even though they might have all the information right at their fingertips?
I think you can read stuff, you can see stuff, but I tell you what, until you see it actually being coached and see it practices, and I think that's the most important thing. And I think the other thing that is, there's almost sometimes too much information. My dad, one of the things he told me, he says, hey, you know what? Go with your ideas. You know, just don't let anybody tell you what you can or can't do. And you go and go do what you think. And that was kind of me always. I always wanted to do things a little different, take the bases. But, you know, we were always a little bit ahead of the game. I'm an offensive guy, not a defensive guy. So I got some great defensive guys around it. You have to go experience. I think these young coaches and it's the young people of today, I think they want everything now. And I think you have to earn it. You have to go out and learn it, you know, and now try to gain as much information as you can, because I think that is so important.
Definitely. And being an offensive guy myself, I know over time I wanted to collect as many of those ideas as I could. And so I have all those things on my computers, actually hard drives filled up with it. But before that, it was like as much as I could, taking notes at clinics, collecting whatever playbooks, books, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't even have room enough for that stuff on my bookshelves. I have it in boxes stored away for God knows what reason. I think the information is there, like you said, but it's also understanding that what we do has to fit together into a system. I was talking with Phil Longo, who's now the offensive coordinator at North Carolina, on the podcast, and he mentioned that, you know, his playbook at home is as tall as he is, but for his players, he's only going to have 26 plays, and it's going to be very focused, and they're going to be detailed on it because he wants his players to play with instinct. How important is it for a coach, you know, at whatever level it might be, to have a system and to be able to have something especially that can be taught well and coached well?
I think it's vital for success. I think you have to have your system. You have to do what you know best and what you want to do. If you're the head coach, an offensive guy, or defense, whatever, you've got to own what you believe, you know, in the system. I have something that I speak on sometimes, and maybe the only thing I've ever done on my own is it's called the man offense. And we do everything off of the man offense. and that is, and I'll just go over a few just brief things on the man offense. Number one is get the man the ball. You know, the players, so it's got to fit our system, but so it changes every year a little bit. So if we're quarterback, now we're going to have to, he's a runner, and he's got to get the ball 15, 20 times, or our tailback, our wide receivers, whatever it is, then we fit our system to our personnel. That's my belief. And that's where, like what Phil said, that's where you narrow it down, you know, and, you know, two and three is get the man the ball in space. And number three is don't block the man on defense, read him, you know, and whatever that may be, do with the run or the pass. And so those are simple things, but it's things that I think young people, young coaches sometimes, and old coaches, we get carried away with schemes and concepts and everything. And man, the newest, shiniest thing, we're going to do that. And it just doesn't fit what you have. You know, you're only as successful as your players. It's not the plays, it's the players.
Absolutely. Coach, in looking at the players and how that's evolved over time as far as how you're coaching those guys up on and off the field, and I'm talking right now specifically, you know, on your systems, and we're going to get into the culture and leadership and character building in a minute here, but what are some of the things that you've seen evolve over that course of time, especially from, like you said, it's got to be about the man, it's got to be about the players, from the learner's side, and because of that, changes I guess you've had to make with your coaching staff along the way?
Well, one of the things is a couple things that I've found in success is this is that, first of all, you've got to be able to accept your mistakes, because if you can't accept your mistakes, and that goes for coaches or kids, then you're not going to improve as a person or as a football player. So first thing we do is show them that it's okay. We're going to make mistakes. We want them to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. We own our mistakes. And then we have to learn how we, so that we don't make that mistake again. And I think kids today, and I tell them, if you can't accept your mistakes as a player, football player, you won't play, you know, because you're not going to get any better than you are. And kids today have a hard time with that at first, you know. And again, I think the relationships of football is, it gets them away from the video games and the internet and all that stuff. It gets them to the, where you have and Steve talks about this all the time, probably the most important thing is our relationships. And that's where it is so important in football and in life, you know, and there's no question. It's just the relationships we have.
Absolutely. The relationships play a huge part in our game. And, you know, the talk you're going to have is character building, the other side of the game at National Conference. And a lot of that really then builds into our culture and what our team is about, what our program is about. I know you have Coach Thomas here with you as well. But Coach, give us an overview of what you do really to build that culture and to build your players.
Well, and I'll have Steve speak after this, but you know, on our press box, we have this, and this is the football part of it, is our goal is to be champions. I mean, we're not going to be ashamed of that. That's, we're going to work hard for that, to be a champion, to be the best we can be. But the other side of it, and we put, is our purpose is to be Christ-like. And so then we go from there through, you know, then we get into the character part. And that's where we think is so important. And Steve can speak on that.
Yeah, we got eight core values that we stress to our players every year. And we spend a good amount of intentional time, about 20 to 30 minutes every week, just going over what our core values are and how that applies to everyday life, not just football. And we instill those in our players as much as we possibly can. It's not just about playing the game, but it's who you are off the field that blends into who you are on the field. And just unfortunately, a lot of coaches, players, people just don't get that even in the business world. But it's a whole life experience, not just an on-field experience. So we try to blend everything with that and make them understand that in their world.
And also, we speak the words and we teach them, but we put it in action. And, that is so important for us. And another one, we'll get into that later and we'll talk about it, but Philippians 2:2-4. And again, you don't have to take that religiously, spiritually, but if you just take those values from Philippians, that's exactly what we want to achieve, you know. And Steve can talk just a little bit on Philippians 2:2-4, what we do.
Well, it makes sense. Again, what Ken said, just not even from a religious or a Christian standpoint, but the qualities that you find there, the characteristics of what makes a team effective, one mind and one purpose, putting selfishness away, being humble, putting others first, that everything makes, that's what makes an effective team. So what I do in my real life is I work with organizations of all kinds, just helping them develop leadership and team and culture, people development. And so I say the same thing to, Fortune 500 companies. This is what makes an effective team. So the same thing holds true on the football field as well. So I want these kids to understand that football is a great metaphor for life. And it is our goal to help this, for lack of a better word, help this boy become a better man. And better men make better football players. So we're doing everything we can to make them a better person so that it bleeds into the on-field experience.
There's a key word or key phrase you use there, is that you want this to be about actions. And I see so many times, and we're kind of in that phase, you think about what we do over the course of a year and how it fits into certain segments of what we're going to prepare our team for, what we're going to prepare ourselves for and get ready to present to them, that a lot of guys now are sitting down and going back over, and how do I tweak what we're doing? How do I get these guys to buy in? What's this next team about? What's our culture about? Which is a big buzzword today. And they're going to do some great things. I mean, if you know anything about business today, it's all about branding. So, make some cool t-shirts, get it on wristbands, get it on the wall, whatever it might be. But ultimately, if you don't put those things into action and there's not a plan for those actions, and both creating the actions and then evaluating them and making the adjustments needed to win, and again, I'm not talking just on the scoreboard, but to win in life, then all of those things fall short. So either one of you guests, I guess Coach Leonard or Coach Thomas, what are the keys to turning those ideas, turning those pillars into actions?
Well, you have to have, I think you have to have something where, again, going back to relationships, we have a mentoring program. So that our players are broke down to all of our coaches, and we try to teach our coaches, okay, this is how, what you do to mentor this young man. So it's almost nothing about football, but it's about so that they, that's part of the action. Okay, we go character development every day, and then we do the mentoring part. Another thing we do is son, mother love letters, and we get that. Then we have a father, son jersey and I love letter, where it's all about, doing the love part of it, the actual family part. And then I get my families involved. My parents are very much involved, and we really, it's ownership. And then, when things come up, and there's things that come up, the tragedies, and then we're ready. Boom. My wife died last year of cancer. I mean, you can't believe I went 7 months, and when she was really the sickest, we never had a meal. And they had meals every night for me and for her on a porch. And I had to finally just stop it. I said, no more. another thing, and talking about action, this is for me, not what we've done. And there's a million things that I can go over what we've done, but is the last 9 months of her life. I never went to work. They said, you take care of Liz. And that's the servant part. That, and I, and like I say, I tell people, you know, I was married for 40 years, and my best year of marriage was my last year, my last 9 months, is because I finally got to serve her. And she served me and my, you know, as you know, Faith Family Football. Well, for us, that's exactly what it's been, because, you know, my son Derek is, he's won 7 out of the last 9 state championships here, and we play him, and he's going to speak at the USA Football, and he's going to talk on football, but he does the same, you know, so we've lived it. And then with my wife, and, you know, it's been a, it's just been, so the actions, and I can, you know, I'm not going to get into what we've done, but I mean, we have stepped out when, without any trying to, I don't like publicity at all. And we just, we go out and just help people, you know, in any way we can. And that's what we preach to our kids. And so that's just an example of, you know, servant, you know, you got to be a servant. And that's what we try to get to our kids in this character development. And there's a lot more to it than that, but that's the bottom line. When you serve other people, and we have to serve each other on a football team, then you got a chance to be pretty great.
Well, Coach, first of all, you know, sorry for your loss, and thank you for sharing that story. I think that's pretty powerful. And I think also, when I look at your career, Coach, and this is a little off this topic, but you know, you've been at Sacred Heart Griffin pretty much your whole career. It's not easy to find those kinds of places for everybody, that you can be there and really have that kind of relationship with the people there, that when you need it, they're taking care of you as well. So I think that's something all the coaches out there aspire to. I mean, we live in a profession where, you know, it seems like every 3 years people are moving on. So for you to be able to have that long of a career and find a place like that, I think is incredible.
Well, and I think that's exactly right. But I also think it goes the other way. And I was this way too. Now, I don't get this wrong about, but coaches are always looking for the next best thing too. You know what, you know, it's always better on the other side of the fence. And I was the same way. People say, oh, you need to go to college, you need to do this. And now with my son, I mean, his success is just off the charts, and he's a brilliant football coach. And they're all telling him, hey, you know, you need to go to college. And he's turned down a couple of college, you know, OC jobs and stuff. And I said, you know what? And he knows this because he's lived it. And he may go to college. If that's your goal, do it. But quality of life is so important. I mean, people get caught up in, because, you know, having that next great job, you know, earning X amount more money, that's not going to bring happiness in the end.
No, definitely not. Well, bringing things back, and I think, you know, you hit it there, and it doesn't have to necessarily be anything faith-based, or, you know, I know people believe different things out there, but the idea of serving your teammates and having actions that are serving others, I think is very important. And Steve, you know, I wanted to let you weigh in on that as well.
Well, so I say this a lot. The essence of leadership is serving. And I don't care how you break it down. I don't care what you call it and how you slice it. It all comes down to serving. There has not been a great leader anywhere at any time that hasn't served the people that they've led. It sounds a little counterintuitive, and it probably is to some extent, but it's exactly what we do. As parents, it's what we do for our children. Every day of their lives, we serve them. So we're not their slave necessarily, depending on how old they are, but we serve them, and it never ends. I mean, I got 3 kids, they're all adults, and to this day, that's what I do, is I serve them. So, but why do we serve them? And I think this is what coaches have to really wrestle with, is why do I coach football? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And if you can stay focused on your purpose, I think somewhere in that purpose, when you really get to the nitty gritty of it all, I think you're going to find out that that word serving, again, whatever word you want to use for it, somehow, some way, that action of serving is going to be down there. So when you stay focused on your purpose, you can kind of understand a little bit better. We serve players because we want players to be the very best that they can possibly be. And old line, hard line, traditional leadership says, you know, you command and control, you tell them, you bribe them, you scare them. There are a number of different ways you go about accomplishing your goal in, with, and through people. But the bottom line is, when you start serving people, everything changes.
And Steve, you're on here for a reason, and we didn't have a chance to talk about this yet, but you know, the best football coaches find ways to delegate and have people who have strength in other areas run things for them. Is your role with this, you know, in the culture side of things, the character building side of things, are you essentially like the coordinator of that portion of the program?
Well, in a matter of speaking, we have created a platform for intentionally developing leadership and character. So a lot of programs will talk about leadership and character as a side thing, but normally when a coach is struggling with a team, it's about some sort of leadership or character issue. So we've created a platform. That platform is that through the season, every single week, we take about 20, 30 minutes and we sit down and we talk about life and leadership in a very intentional way. And we've done a number of different things with that. So we create that platform for it. Leadership and character development is not just about keeping your grades up or, you know, telling kids to not get detentions in schools and those kinds of things. Oh, it's good stuff. But just take an intentional time. And I found that one reason a lot of coaches don't do that is because they just don't know how to. It's not really a complicated process, and I've actually developed some things over the years that kind of help coaches do that. But I guess my role is kind of help coordinate that, but we give a lot of that away as well.
Coach Leonard, in creating something that is, I think, like we said, intentional, you guys have a program for this. You have a plan for this, much like you would have your offense or defense. In order for this to be successful, and I'm sure you've seen the results now over the course of time, I think what Steve brought up there is you have to have a plan for it. How did all this develop for you to the point where it was something a little bit more than, and we're going to talk about some ideas today, to essentially a specific curriculum for it?
Well, I saw a need. You know, I'm up for the – I was the Chicago Bear Coach of the Year, so I'm going to be down in Orlando at the 24th. And one of the questions is, what are you doing about, you know, kids' problems today and all that stuff? Well, guess what? One thing that God made me kind of, he made me smart enough or not smart enough to know, I found successful people. This one simple thing is, the people that are successful in life that I've found, whether it be a coach, business person, whatever, to know what they don't know and then get people around them. And that's where I got Steve Thomas. And he was in charge of the JFL and Junior Football League around here. And he's also a great friend of mine. And he's great at this. And he had a passion for it. So I went to him, and this is how it's developed. And it's made a big change in our football program. And again, I can't say enough about how good Steve is with this. And that's why I got somebody that I was, you know, I knew a lot about football, but didn't know a lot about this character part that I needed to know. It's simple after you get into it, but it's stuff that you know, I needed help and I got it.
We're going to have both of you coaches at our national conference speaking about this topic. That's in Orlando, February 22nd through the 24th. Coaches, you can register for that at usafootball.com. /NC19podcast. Register with the code podcast99 to save. We're really excited to have both of you guys there talking about this. Can you give us an overview of what we're going to be speaking about there?
Well, Ken's going to be sharing a lot about what we do as a program in terms of, like your question a while ago, putting the stuff into action. So there's a lot of things we do as a program to get the kids involved. We're also going to be talking about our why it matters more than anything. I think it's one thing to think that it's a good idea, but what does it really matter? And that's why we titled this The Other Side of the Game, because I think it's the side of the game that we don't pay a lot of attention to. So we spend a lot of time on the talent and the skill and the experience and the intellect of the game, and we should, rightfully so. But we pay very little attention sometimes to the character, the leadership, the people skills, the attitude. But again, when coaches are frustrated, more often than not, that's what they're frustrated with, is just the attitude or the motivation or the work ethic and those kinds of things. So we're going to be just talking about what we do as a program to kind of put those things into play. And again, talk about that platform that we create to stress the leadership and character development through the season.
And I know in a 50-minute session, it's hard to share everything. But I'm sure you guys have some goals and objectives for that too. What's something you really want coaches to take away from that? What actions would you like to see them take after listening to your presentation at National Conference?
I would love them to be able to take away some tools that they can go home and start intentionally developing character and leadership with their team. And as Ken said, I think they're going to see a difference. Are you going to win football games because of it? Probably not. Is your sense of satisfaction and fulfillment going to go up because you know you've made a difference in a kid's life? Absolutely. And I think that's what I want more than anything, is for coaches to understand the importance, to understand the why behind what they do, and to go home and start doing something intentionally to implement these principles.
Yeah, no question. I think it's and I'm a coach, so I know it's bottom line, and, you know, and it's, people have a hard time. Well, you know, they, you know, today looking at it, oh, I can take 30 minutes. I can take 20 minutes. But you know what? Then all of a sudden time gets tight. And we, hey, every week we set this aside. We do this on Thursday before the Friday game, you know, so that's the last thing we do. We went through our walkthroughs. We got all that stuff done. We're getting ready for our pregame meal and, you know, the night before the game. And so we have a meal every, you know, but before we do that, we take that 20, 30 minutes, and that's what we do. And it's the best 20, 30 minutes of those kids' week. And it's a great way that we top it off. Okay. Now, hey, we've prepared you for the football game. Now we're going to prepare you for life.
You don't have to look around the NFL or college sports very much to see that. Well, I say this a lot. There's only 1,696 men, I think I've got that math right, that can play NFL football in the world. So clearly all of them are talented. But what frustrates us is when we read in the news or we see an action on the field in which character now has trumped their talent. And so now they can't play. Why can't they play? They're very talented. It's because character, leadership, attitude, people skills has trumped the talent. And so to say it doesn't matter is a little bit naive, because it absolutely matters. And not only does it matter, but it frustrates the rest of us when we see it not put into play the way it should. So we're going to cover some of that stuff in that in a 50-minute. 50-minute.
Yeah, no pressure. Just deliver a lot there. Well, looking at the success of your program, Coach Leonard, you know, the 379 wins in 5 state championships, I know that has a lot of value to a coach. I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, our responsibility is to win ball games, and essentially when we do, that gives us the platform we have. So it is important that some of this translates to wins. But the tie-in with what you're doing to help these guys win ball games on the field, but also then to be able to see those guys, you know, 10, 20, 30 years down the road. I think you told me I wasn't sure if it was before we got started or not, but, you know, guys, when you first started coaching are in their 60s now. So to be able to see, you know, even those guys now who are probably getting close to looking back on a career and their accomplishments, how does this all fit together, Coach? How does this all come together to really be your mission?
Well, it's, I think one of the things is I talk about my son, but I've got coaches that I've coached that are in the coaching profession now at every level. I've got coaches on NFL, every level of college and high school. Almost over half of our guys on our staff are ex-players. Garrett, almost half of his, over half of his assistants are ex-players of from our school. So, and then there's guys all over the place, all over the country, and to know that, and then you got doctors and lawyers, but more than all that, it's not what they do, it's who they are, and that I want them to, and I think that's what's really important. And the big thing is be great husbands and great fathers and great men that make a difference in this world. And I think we've got, you know, I don't know if it was one of the ministers, preachers, Billy Graham, I think, said, you know, a coach has more influence, will influence more people in like 1 year than the average person does in a lifetime. And so, my goodness, we got a high order of business here as a coach. And I think that's what we, I think that when you do this character development, when you do it the right way, man, you're starting to build great leaders and great people for the future. And that's what's important.
As I appreciate both of you taking time. I'm really excited to see you in Orlando in February. For our coaches out there, if they want to connect in the meantime, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, Leonard at shg.org. Leonard at shg.org.
And Coach Thomas?
Mine is stevethomas3030@hotmail.com.
Well, guys, I really appreciate you taking the time and giving us an overview of what you're going to be talking about. Very, very important topic. I'm really excited you're going to be sharing it there. And I would love to have both of you guys back on the podcast at some time and maybe dig into this a little bit more.
All right, great. Well, thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.